The second parak, starting with Mishnah Aleph, requires a little bit background. The pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches says as follows: "Va'ani hinei nasati lecha es mishmeres trumasi." So the pasuk is telling us HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that he has given Tokta Kohanim the truma. Now the word trumasi, the drush of Chazal, it's talking about two trumas. What do you mean two trumas? So the truma giving to the Kohen can be either tahor or tameh. If somebody has produce and it's tahor, he has to take off truma and give it to the Kohen. But also if he has produce that is tameh, it became tameh, he is still obligated to give that to the Kohen. So whether it's tahor, whether it's tameh, it goes to the Kohen. And when the Kohen receives truma that's tahor, he can eat it. If he receives truma that's tameh, he cannot eat it. But what he can do is he can have benefit from burning it. So for example, he can use it in his barbecue to burn. Or if it's, for example, olive oil that he receives that's tameh, he can light it in a candle. So it still has to go to the Kohen. Now what our Mishnah is coming to teach us is that under normal circumstances, if somebody has, for example, a pile of grain that's tahor and one that is tameh, you cannot take off of one for the other. That doesn't work. Now, the reason is very important on this. There's a requirement that if somebody has, for example, two piles of tevel, and he has to take truma off of it, he can only take it off if they are min hamukaf, which means that they are side by side, close proximity one to another. But if they are in different locations, one is here and one is in a different city, one is here and one is across town, that's not fulfilling the proximity requirement. That's not mina mukav, and that would not be acceptable. So under normal circumstances, if you have two piles of grain, for example, and they're both tahor, take off one from the other, close proximity, no problem. But Chazal were concerned that if you have one pile, for example, pile A that's tameh, and pile B that's tahor, people are going to be scared to have them in close proximity. They're going to be concerned that one is going to make the other tameh. And accordingly, Chazal say as follows at the beginning of our Mishnah, Ein tormi mi tahor ala tameh. You cannot take off truma from that pile B that is tahor in order to absolve the tameh pile from its obligation. So you can't take off from B that's tahor for tameh pile A that is tameh. So that is the general principle that we're dealing with. However, if you did do it, vim tarmu, you took off from B, which is tar, for A, that is tameh. If you did that, truma, so truma, it is indeed going to be effective. It is going to be truma. Now, truth be told, we're talking about things that are tahor and tameh, that if they touch, it's not going to be that they are going to transfer the truma from something that is tameh to something that's tahor. They can be touching, but Chazal were concerned that people indeed may be concerned if they're touched or in close proximity, so you can't typically take from tahor on tameh. So be'emes amru, there's a halacha, an accepted halacha, and sometimes be'emes amru can mean halacha l'moshe misinai, that there indeed are going to be circumstances that when we have things that are tahor and tameh in close proximity, in other words, when they are by definition in close proximity, then we will be able to be torem from the tahor on the tameh. We'll be able to take truma from the B, which is tahor, on the tameh, which is A. So it goes as follows. Be'emes amru, there's an accepted halacha. Ha'igul shel devela. If we have a cake of pressed figs, so you get a bunch of figs together, you press them all together, shenitma miktsa, so that some of the figs became tameh. That means that you have this big cake of pressed figs. Some of the figs are tameh, some are not tameh. Just because they're in the same cake, it doesn't mean that everything becomes tameh. So in that situation, where by definition it is mina mukaf, everything is in close proximity because it's all attached, Tore min ha-tahor shiyesh bo ala tameh shiyesh bo. It would be permitted to take truma from the tahor pieces, from the tahor figs, and absolve and exempt the figs that are tameim, because we don't have that overriding concern of min ha-mukaf, that they're not going to put it close together because one is tameh, one is tahor. It's all together. We can do it. We don't have that concern. And similarly, just like that halacha applies, that even though you're taking from the tahor on the tameh, because it's together, it's acceptable to do that. that when it comes to a cake of pressed figs, the same thing applies. V'chein aguda shel yarek. If you have a bundle together of vegetables, some are tameim, some are tahorim, you can take off from the tahorim and exempt the tameim. V'chein arema, same thing applies when you have a whole pile together of grain. Some of the grain is tahor, some is tame. You can take from the tahor part on the tame part. Not a problem. Why? Because they're already touching. We're not concerned that you are not going to put them close together. It won't be minamukav, because by definition it is minamukav, because it's a bundle together or it's a pile together. Now the Mishnah continues, hayushnei igulim. But what happens if we have two separate cakes of figs? One is tame, the A is tame, the B is tahor, or if you have shtei agudas, we have two bundles of vegetables. Again, one is tame, one is tahor, shtei aremos, two piles of grain, one is tame, one is tahor, and that it says explicitly, achas tamei of achas tahora, because they are separate. One is tame, one is tahor. They're not together. Lo yisrom zmizel. You're not permitted to take from one on the other, because we have now that concern again, because they're separate. Chazal instituted, don't take from the Torah on the tame, because you may come to take when they are not minamukav, when they are not in close proximity. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with everything we've said. Tormi minator alatami, it's permitted to take from the tahor, from the B, which is tahor, alatami, from the A, which is tame. He doesn't hold by this gzeira that Chazal instituted that you are going to take when it's not minamukav. He wasn't at all worried that you're going to take when they are not in close proximity. So Rabbi Eliezer permits taking truma from the Torah on the Tame, but nonetheless, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. We paskin like the Tanakama. Mishnah Beis is going to teach us the reverse case that we just saw in Mishnah Aleph, whereas in Mishnah Aleph, we talked about taking truma from Tahor in order to exempt something that's Tame. Now we're talking about Ein Tormi Min HaTame Al HaTahor. The same din would apply. You can't take truma from something, and now we're talking about that it's tame in order to exempt something that is tar. Now, the main reason for this is you can't take truma and give something that is tame to the coin in place of something that's tahor, because you're really disadvantaging the coin. He should be getting something that's tahor, which he would be able to eat, and now instead you're taking truma, which is tame, and giving it to him, and he has to burn it. So that's a real disadvantage to the coin. That indeed cannot be done. However, vim tarum, if you did do it, if it's a situation of shogeg. Now, shogeg here means it wasn't intentional, that you did not know that the pile, the B pile that is tame, that you're taking truma off for the A pile that is tar, you didn't know that the B pile is tame. It was a shogeg, it was by mistake. You thought they were both tar, and only thereafter you found out, once you took the truma from the B pile, you found out it's tame. In that situation, truma so truma, it will be effective. It was an innocent mistake. On the other hand, umezid, if you did it intentionally, you knew that the pile B was indeed tame, and you did it intentionally in order to exempt the pile A, which was tar, lo asa klum, it's not effective, and you have to take truma once again, and you'd have to take it from the A pile here, which is tahor. Now we're going to see a similar concept, and we'll just speak it outside before we read inside, that a levi receives, instead of truma, the truma goes to the coin, he receives meiser from the owner. So the meiser rishon goes to the levi, and from that, the levi has to give 10% to the coin. That's called trumas meiser. So we have a levi in our situation here who has a pile of meiser rishon, and for him, it's still called tevel, because he has not taken off the trumas meiser and given it to the kohen. So he's not allowed to eat it yet. That's why it's called tevel for him. He has not given the trumas meiser. And what his plan is, this is what he does on a regular basis, is he has this pile of, we'll say it is grain. It's wheat. He has a pile of wheat, and each time he has some wheat from somewhere else, instead of taking the trumas meiser, each time he gets in from somebody a gift of meiser of wheat, he just takes from this bundle, this pile that he has here. Each time he takes off the equivalent of 10% from the pile that he has designated. So he gets in, like, let's say 100 pounds, 100 kilo, or whatever it is, of meiser rishon, and he would take off 10 from this designated pile here. So v'chen ben Levi shayalo maaser tevel. So we have a Levi. He has maaser and it's tevel. He hasn't given off. That's his designated pile. He has not given off trumas maaser from it. Hayamafrish alav v'holech. And what he would do is whenever he got in maaser from a different place and he had to give trumas maaser from it, he took it from his designated pile. That's what would he do. And he didn't know is the problem. He didn't know that indeed it was Tamei. So if it is Shogeg, his designated pile, if it's a Shogeg, it was not on purpose, it was by accident that he was taken off from his designated pile for other places, giving the Trumas Nicer from here, the Shogeg, and he only thereafter found out that it was Tamei, as we saw in the prior case when it came to Truma, Masha Asa Asui. Whatever he did, and it was effective on a bidyevid level. However, Mazid, if he knew that his designated pile that he's giving the Trumas Meiser from for other receipts that he has other gifts that he receives of Meiser, if he knew that it was Tameh, his designated pile, he was amazed. He did it knowingly, lo asaklum, it wasn't effective what he did, and he would have to give Trumas Meiser from the other piles. He'd have to redo it all because he effectively never gave proper Trumas Meiser to the Kohen. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he's going to add on a specific point here. It disagrees in one specific area that Imhaya Yodea Bo Betchila. If we have a situation that either that individual who was giving Truma, and we said it's a Shogeg. If it's a Shogeg, he didn't know it was Tamei, but thereafter he figured out it was Tamei, that it's effective. Or we're talking about here with Levi, that he didn't know when he was giving the Trumas Meiser was a Shogeg. He didn't know that he was giving from a Tamei pile. Then after the fact, it's okay. Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, Im haya yodea b'tchil, if he really knew initially that the pile that he's giving from is Tamei, and he forgot thereafter, even though when he took it off, when he took off either of the first case in the Mishnah, when he took off the Truma, or the Ben Levi, the Levi that is taking off the Trumas Meiser, when he did that, he forgot. And he was a real Shogeg. It wasn't intentional. He forgot it was Tamei. It doesn't matter because initially he knew lo asa klum when he took it off, even though it was a shogeg at the time that he took off either the truma or the meiser rishon, it is not effective his giving because this is considered a mazi. This is considered as if he knew. If he knew it initially and then forgot, it's as if he knew the whole time. It's a mazi, and then he would have to re-give the truma and the trumas meiser again as if he never gave. Mishnah Gimel is a continuation of the concept that we saw in the prior Mishnah, that there are times that Chassal distinguish when somebody does a violation, does an iser. They are stricter when somebody does it intentionally, b'mezid, compared to if they do it b'shogeg, which is by mistake. So we're going to apply that concept in a number of areas. We're going to step primarily out of the halachas of Truma. We'll talk a little bit about Truma, but we'll talk primarily about Hilcha Shabbos. It's just important to note that some of these halachas are not aliba de Hilcha, so we're actually more machmir in certain areas than what we're about to go through right now, but we're just going to stick with the pashtus of the Mishnah. Matbil, this is the first area. Han matbil kelim b'shabbos. So somebody comes and he tovels a kli in the mikvah because it was tamei. That is prohibited on Shabbos. That's a tikkun of a kli. You're fixing, effectively fixing something, a kli on Shabbos. But if he did it b'shogeg, if he did it not knowingly, he didn't know it was tamei. Accordingly, there's no knas. Chazal didn't penalize such a person. Yishtamesh behem, it would be permitted for him to use it on Shabbos because it was a shogeg. However, if it was bemezid, if it was intentional, he knew that it was tamei, he toveled it on Shabbos in a mikvah, Chazal penalized that. Lo yishtamesh behem, it would not be permitted to use it on Shabbos, but rather you have to wait until after Shabbos. That's category number one. Same concept, we've seen a distinction between mezid, which we're stricter on, and chazal penalized, and shogeg, which we are lenient on. Second category of isurim, it's actually two together, two isurim, hamaser, if somebody took trumas and maishas on Shabbos. Again, that's being metakin something. That's fixing something. You can't do this on Shabbos. V'hamid vashel b'Shabbos, or if somebody cooks on Shabbos. If it is shogeg yochal, if he did it b'shogeg, forgot it was Shabbos, whatever the shogeg is, then yochal, you're permitted to eat it even on Shabbos, according to this Tana. This is not Ali Paskin. Mezid, however, if the person did it b'mezid, he knew what he was doing knowingly, taking off the trumas and maizos or cooking on Shabbos, lo yochal, he cannot eat it until after Shabbos. Point number three, Hanoteya b'Shabbos. If somebody planted, for example, a tree on Shabbos, also aser, nisr d'oraisa. Shogeg yikayim. If he did it b'shogeg, he can leave it. Mezid, but if it was a case of intentionally knew what he was doing, then Chazal penalized him. Yakor, it has to be uprooted. Uprooted, obviously, after Shabbos. And fourth isr that we're talking about, fourth category, fourth statement in the Mishnah, b'shvis. If somebody planted a tree, now we're not talking about Shabbos, but we're talking about during the Shemitah year. We do not plant on the Shemitah year. If somebody did it, bein shogig, bein mezid. Here, we don't distinguish between shogig and mezid. We are just as strict with so shogig as mezid. Yaakor, the person has to uproot it. Why were Chazal stricter when it came to the Shemitah year, even for a shogig? It's because people typically are lax in these halachas when it came to the Shemitah year. They are stricter about Shabbos, so Chazal didn't have to be as strict when it came to the halachas of Shabbos, but when it comes to the halachas of Shemitah, Chazal felt that they had to be stricter, so they equated a shogeg to a mezid, and in both situations, then they penalized the person who planted the tree during the Shemitah year, and it has to be uprooted. In Mishnah Dalet, we learn a very important principle when it comes to truma, that we have to take truma if we want to take from A on B, and B and A, if we have two piles, for example, we have to take only from the same species. But if it's from a different species, for example, I have wheat and figs, I cannot take from the wheat in order to exempt the figs. So this is actually based on a pasuk that says as follows, Kol chelev yitzar, v'kol chelev tirosh v'dagan. Interestingly, the pasuk says chelev twice. Chelev here means the best. So what it says as follows, Kol chelev yitzar, when we're giving our truma, we have to give the best of the yitzar, which is the oil. And then it says this again, v'kol chelev, and also the best of your wine and grain. And Chazal explained to us that we cannot give on one type on the other. So we have to give oil for oil. We cannot intertwine and give wine for oil, or grain for oil, or wine for grain. It's oil for oil, wine for wine, grain for grain. We have to stick within the category. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ein tori mimin al she'en omino. You cannot give truma from one type, from one species, on a different type, be'im tarim, and if you did it, if you attempted to do that in violation of the halacha that we just cited, ein truma so truma, even on a bidyevid level, that truma, that taking of the truma, is not going to be effective. Now we have to get into what does it mean in each category, each species by itself. So it says there is some flexibility. Kol min chitim echad, all different types of wheat, that's considered one category. So if you have white wheat and red wheat or whole wheat, whatever it is, then you can take from one on the other. That's all considered the same category. And similarly, kol min te'enim, if you have all different types of figs, te'enim here refers to fresh figs, ugrogoros and dried figs, utvela and pressed cake of figs all together, echad, that is all considered the same thing, and you'd be able to take truma from one on the other. Vetorim yizalza, you can take one from the other. Now continuing, an interesting halacha, kol makom sheyesh koin, anytime there's a coin available to give the truma to, tore min hayafe, we would have to give the truma from the best thing that we have. This is based on a pasuk that says, michol chelbo, from the best part is what we have to give. So the Bar Tanura here comes and explains, if we're giving figs, we actually have to take from the fresh figs and give that, rather than giving the dry figs or the pressed figs, because the fresh figs are viewed as the yafe, viewed as the chelev, which is the best part of it. So if there's a coin around to give the chuim to give the truma to, tore min hayafe, you give it from the best of the parts in that category that you have, a kol makom she'ein koin. But however, if there's no coin readily available that you'll be able to give your truma to, chorem min hamiskayim, you should take truma from what will last, because you're going to have to hold on to it until you find that kohen. The Bar Tanura comes and explains, in our fig example, you would not take off fresh figs as truma and let it sit there, but you would take off dried figs, because those are going to last. That's mean hamiskayim, what will last, and that's what you will hold on to and give to the kohen when he comes by. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo olam hu sorem min hayafe. You're always going to give from the best of that species that you have, the best of that category you have. So in the fig example, even though there's no coin readily available, you are going to give the fresh figs and leave them on the side, not the dried figs or the pressed figs, because he focuses on the pasuk. The pasuk says when you take off the truma, it has to be from the chelev. That applies at all times whether there is a coin around or there is not a coin around, but indeed we do not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like the Tanakama on this point. Mishnah Hey continues the machlokas from the prior Mishnah, where we saw that if there's no coin around, the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is, if we still have the requirement to take of the best produce and simply put it on the side from when the coin is going to come, or should our standard not be the best, but what is going to last the longest, because the coin may not come around for a while. And we saw that the Tanakama was of the view that take what will last, take hamiskayim, because there's no coin around. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, our standard doesn't change. Whether there's a coin here or not, we always have to take off as truma the best. Hopefully the coin will come quickly and benefit from the best that we take off, even if it's not going to be the longest lasting. So Mishnah Hey continues the machlokes, tormim batzal katan shalem. If we have a choice, we have two types of betzalim, two sizes of onions. One are small and some are large. Large is the higher quality, but small because you don't have to cut it, because we would only be giving a portion of the large and we'd be giving a full small one. So the small is going to last longer. So this is the opinion of the Tanakama from the prior Mishnah that says as follows: if in the absence of a coin, we have no coin around, tormim batzal katan shalem, we take off truma from our onions by taking off a small batzal, a small onion, a full one, because that's going to last the longest, v'lochetzi batzal gadol, but not, even though it's typically better tasting, the larger one, but because we'd cut it in half, it would last less time. It tastes better, but it's not miskayim, so don't go in that route. So we see here the Tanakama again, go by what's going to last, not by what's best. In the absence of a coin, Rabbi Yehuda sticks with his view. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lochi, I disagree. Ela chetzi batzal gadol, you should still cut the larger onion, cut it in half. That is the better choice. It's going to be better tasting for the Kohen. And even though it's not the Miskayim, it's not going to be long lasting. We have the imperative, whether we have a Kohen there or not, to take the better produce as the Truma. V'chein haya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda continues and tells us as follows. Again, if we have two different types or even the same type of onion, but one was grown in a place that makes it better and one makes it worse. So we have onions that are from the Medina, from the city. We'll just say it outside first and then read it inside. And we also have onions grown in the Kfarim. They're called Kofrim. They're from city, from the village onions. So we have city onions and village onions. The better ones, better tasting, are the city onions. So the Mishnah says, V'chein haya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tormim betzalim ibnei ha-medina al ha-kofrim. We are permitted to take the truma from the onions grown in the city. That is the yafa, that's the better ones. And you can exempt the onions that were grown in the village. So you're giving the better ones when you have a collection of both. You have some from the city, some from the village. You can take the truma from the better one, which were the city-grown onions. Avolomina kofrim. Kufrim al habnei abedina, but don't take from the worst ones, the ones grown in the village, and exempt the ones that were grown in the city. Mibnei shumacho politikit, because the ones that are grown in the city are fed to the nobility. That's politikin. That's like politicians, it sounds like. So that's the nobility. So the city onions are better. The nobility eats those, so we should be giving those. If we're going to be taking one type, take from the better, which are the city ones, and give it to the Kohen, but don't take from the worse ones, from the village ones, and give that to the Kohen. Mishnah Vav continues in the same vein, that we are permitted to take from better produce on inferior produce, but not inferior produce on better produce, when we are taking off the truma to give to the Kohen. So the Mishnah says as follows, Sormim Zeise Shemen al Zeise Kevesh. If we have two types, two qualities of Zeisim, of olives, the one that's higher quality are zeisei shemen. Those are zeisim. Those are olives that are used for oil. There are more oil. There's more oil in those olives, more olive juice in those oils to make oil. And the second type is zeisei kevesh. Those have less oil in them. Those are the olives that are simply used for pickling because they cannot be used for oil. So if we have those two qualities, we can take truma from the better ones, which are the oil-making zeisim, and we can exempt the non-oil, meaning the pickling olives, but not the reverse, because that, the reverse would be taking inferior on superior quality. Below zeisei kevesh al zeisei shemen, we cannot take from the zeisim used for pickling to exempt the zeisim that are used for oil. And a similar concept, that was when it applies to oil. Now we're going to apply that to wine. Two qualities of wine. We have wine that is not mevushal, that is viewed as higher quality than wine that is mevushal, that has been cooked. So v'yayin sheinu mevushal, we can take off truma, give it to the kohen from wine that has not been cooked, is not mevushal, al hamevushal, and exempt the mevushal wine, but not the reverse, because the reverse would be taking inferior quality wine and exempting higher quality wine. So it says v'lomin ha-mevushal, you can't take the truma and give to the kohen from the wine that's mevushal, al she'enu mevushal, and exempt the enu mevushal. Now we're going to continue with the Mishnah by harking back to something that we saw in Mishnah Dalet, that we have to take from the same type, the same mean, the same type of produce. We cannot take on apples and versus oranges to exempt orange, apples and oranges. We can't take from one on the other, but we can take from different types of apples, for example. That would just be the conceptual example here. So, zeh haklal, this is the general principle. How do we define now what is considered the same species and what's a different species? So if the same species, if it's in the same mishpacha, the same type, then we can take from one on the other. But if it's a different species, then we cannot take from one on the other. So our standard is going to be, and a barometer is going to be, is there an isser of kelaim? The isser of kelaim, and to discuss in detail, in Masechet Kelaim, is if we are prohibited from planting these two species together, that tells us they are different types of species, and if that's the case, we cannot take truma from one on the other. However, if there's no isser kalaim, that would mean that those are the same species, and we would be permitted accordingly to take truma from one on the other. So this is the general principle. Zaklal kol shu kalaim b'chaveru, whenever we have an isser kalaim in planting two types together, as discussed in the Maseches Kelaim, and we won't get into the details here, lo yisro mizelza, the same halacha will apply, just like you cannot plant them together because of Kelaim, you cannot take truma from one the other because those are different species, afilu min hayafa al ara, and that means even if you would be taking the nicer, the superior, and from the inferior, so it means if you have literally apples and oranges, and you're going to take the really nicest of the apples and the oranges are all not nice, it doesn't matter. If there is a problem of kilayim, then there is a problem of taking truma from one on the other, and you cannot take from one on the other, and you cannot rationalize it by saying, I'm even going to take the nicer of species A and to exempt species B. Now continuing, v'chol she'enu kilayim b'chaviro, if we have something that is not kalaim, there's no prohibition of planting two things together, it's not an isser kalaim, then tore min hayafa al hara. Then we get into the question of, I can take from one to the other, but I can only take from the better on the inferior, aval lo min hara al hayafa. This is what we've been talking about in the beginning of the Mishnah, or the prior Mishnah, but I cannot take from the bad on the good. But we only get to that concept of taking from the good for the bad and not the bad for the good if there's no problem of kilayim, so I can take from one, I can take truma on one from the other. Continuing, however, if it was in the shem mishpacha, there's no problem of kilayim, I can take truma from one to the other, but I violated the rule that we just said, v'im tara min ara al hayafa, you went along and you had two types of apples, for example, and you took the bad and exempted the good, that should not be done on a lechatchila basis. It's usher to do that. But if you did do it, b'dievet truma, so truma, the truma will be effective. It is going to be truma, and that has to be given to the kohen. Now we're going to have an exception to this. Chutz min hazunin alachitin. The exception would be if you have zunin, which is an inferior type of wheat that is fed to animals. So you cannot take from that inferior wheat on normal wheat to exempt the normal wheat. Why? Sheinan ochel. Because the zunin is not even food. So that's not even the parsha of taking truma from it, because it's not food. The whole question, when I take the worse on the better that I shouldn't do, but if I did it, it's truma. That's talking about when they're both fed to people, they're both edible, that one is inferior, one is superior. But when we're talking about something that's not edible, it's just fed to animals, then that will not work even on a bidyevid basis. And now a couple of an additional machlokis here in this regard. It's somewhat of a side point. Bahakishut bahamalafafon. If we have a cucumber, it's actually a machlokis what exactly these are, but a cucumber and a malafafon is a different type of cucumber, a Kirby cucumber or some sort of melon. That's considered min echad. This is for purposes of kilayim, that there's no prohibition of planting these two together, and also you can take truma from one on the other, according to the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shnei Minim. These are actually two separate minim. Kilayim, the issur of kilayim planting them together would apply, and because of that also we would not be permitted to take truma from one and exempt the other.